You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Angry, very angry. That's how some people felt after they opened their New York Times newspaper and read one of the letters to the editor. The writer of this controversial letter claimed that modern scholarship now proves that Jesus is very different from what most people today believe. But if these claims of this writer are correct, then the entire Christian faith would be destroyed, and Jesus would be seen as a fraud, and the hope of the resurrection, the foundation doctrine of the Christian faith, would collapse. And as a result, there would be no hope for this life and no hope for the life to come. This life would then offer little more than endless misery, hourly hopelessness, total despair, and a foretaste of hell itself. But before we blindly accept such blasphemous statements designed to discredit Jesus and to destroy the Christian faith, let's look at the arguments used by this writer to see if he is correct. In his letter to the editor of the New York Times, this writer says, "Jesus did not consider himself divine. It is almost impossible to comprehend why anybody would say something like this. The writer's motive is extremely difficult to understand, especially when we read Jesus himself saying just the opposite in the Bible. Recorded in St. John's Gospel, we read the Savior's words when he says, and I quote, 'I and the Father are one.' Yes, that's what Jesus said. He said, 'I and the Father are one.' These words of Jesus are virtually impossible to misunderstand. Jesus was claiming his divinity, and his words are clear, and even the enemies of his day knew precisely what Jesus was claiming about himself. Also in his high priestly prayer, recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus prays to the Heavenly Father and says, 'And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.' Here again there is little question about what Jesus was saying. As he came to the close of his public ministry, Jesus was restating the eternal truth, and that is this, that he, Jesus, existed from eternity. Before the world itself came into being, yes, Jesus claimed to be God. A second charge this writer in the New York Times made against Jesus was that Jesus did not intend his bloody death on the crucifixion cross to serve as a worthy sacrifice offered to the Heavenly Father to pay for the sins of the whole world. Here again, if we are interested in the solid facts of history, instead of the fictitious statements of an unbeliever, then we will go back to the original records. The eternal and abiding truth of God's word found in the Bible shows this writer of this letter to the editor to be wrong. He is totally wrong. The Bible records that Jesus was fully aware, even before he was crucified, that his life was going to be offered to the Heavenly Father as a worthy sacrifice for sin. Jesus said, "I didn't come into the world to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom." Now, the word ransom does not appear as often as it once did, but newspapers do still use it. Not long ago, in fact, one major newspaper in its headline stated, "Film magnate ransoms his daughter." The news story told how an 18-year-old daughter of an Italian movie maker was held prisoner for 2.5 years in a small wooden box. Finally, the kidnappers released the young lady, but they did this only after her father paid them a ransom of $933,000. By paying the kidnappers this financial ransom, this father had bought back his own daughter. He had paid the ransom. He had purchased his daughter's freedom. Jesus said when he came into the world, he gave his life as a ransom. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he was offering himself as a ransom. He was buying us back. At his crucifixion, Jesus died an innocent death. and he redeemed you and me from the power of sin and eternal death in hell. And regarding this crucial point, Jesus was never evasive. No, Jesus always spoke very, very candidly about who he was and about what he did. Jesus stated unequivocally why he died voluntarily on the cross and what his death would accomplish. And so it is disturbing, of course, to read a letter to the editor of the New York Times falsely claiming that Jesus did not see his death as a sacrifice. This writer was obviously trying to contradict what the Bible has always clearly taught and what the Christian church has powerfully proclaimed for nearly 2,000 years. So what is the bottom line of all of this? And whom do we believe when we hear people say that Jesus did such and such and that he said so and so? And what do we do if these statements conflict with what we read repeatedly in the Bible? The bottom line is simply this. Instead of always having somebody interpreting what Jesus said, let Jesus Christ speak for himself. After all, this is the unmistakable picture that we get when we read the Bible, isn't it? During his public ministry, Jesus did speak for himself, and he did this even as he faced some of his most bitter enemies. And when he spoke publicly, Jesus often spoke about his coming death and his inevitable resurrection. Jesus said, and I quote, "No man has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay my life down," Jesus said, "and I have authority to take it up again." Authority. Divine authority. That's what Jesus had, and this becomes important when we begin to think and to talk about life and our inevitable death. Yes, Jesus' words about life and death and the life after death become very important for you and for me when we think of our own life and where we are going to go when this life is finished. What happens at the funeral? Where will your soul go when your body is placed in the cold grave? If you have been wondering or even worried about where you are going to spend eternity when you die, then let me encourage you to consider the hope-filled words and the life-giving promises of Jesus. During his public ministry, Jesus ministered with mercy to the people around him, and the Savior constantly met individuals who were weary of this life, and these people were also often confused about the hope of the life to come. And if there was a heaven, these people wondered how they would ever get there. To these discouraged people, Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everybody who beholds the Son and believes in him," believes in Jesus, "may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Oh yes, this is also the promise that Jesus is making to you today. And if you trust in him, if you trust in Jesus, then when you die, his promise of eternal life will be yours. God's Spirit will assure you that the Savior's blood can cleanse you from all of your sins, and that when this life is finished, you will be raised unto eternal life on the last day. And you will then spend eternity with God forever and forever. Skeptics and atheists have always been troubled with the words and the promises of Jesus. But their most vigorous efforts to discredit the Savior have always met with failure. The enemies of Jesus tried to claim that Jesus was an impostor and a charlatan, but their charges were always proved false. Because whatever Jesus prophesied has always come true. You see, long before his death, the Bible tells us that Jesus began to teach his followers that he, Jesus, the Son of Man, must suffer many things, and that he, Jesus, would be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and that he would be killed, and that after 3 days, he, Jesus, would be raised again from the dead. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus, and I quote, was stating the matter plainly. And so then the thing which excited Jesus' followers and stunned his enemies was that whatever Jesus foretold, whatever he said was going to come true, this is precisely what happened. Jesus was betrayed. Yes, Jesus was beaten. He was slapped in the face. And he was spit upon, just like he said he would be. And the religious leaders of his day totally rejected Jesus, just as the Savior said they would. Even Pontius Pilate, who could not find any fault with Jesus, gave in to the demands of the mob. St. Mark, the gospel writer, tells us that in the heat of the trial, Pilate said to the crowd, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, whom you call the King of the Jews?" And the ugly mob shouted back, "Crucify him!" And wishing to satisfy the multitude, the Bible tells us, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he delivered Jesus to be crucified. The enemies of Jesus now thought that it was all over, but their false confidence, built upon the foundation of hate, was soon to be destroyed. 3 days after Jesus was crucified, he was raised from the dead, and his resurrection has changed the entire course of history. Not long ago, a columnist in a well-known newspaper wrote that the Christian faith was founded upon the death of Jesus. This is not quite correct. You see, the Christian faith and the Christian church was not founded only upon the death of Jesus, but also upon the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it was the resurrection that inspired the early disciples to evangelize the whole world. It was also the resurrection that enabled the bold and professing martyrs to proclaim the gospel message even at the peril of their own lives. It was also the power of the gospel message of the death and resurrection of Jesus which drove men like the Apostle Paul to proclaim to an enthusiastic crowd at the city of Lystra, saying, "Therefore, let it be known unto you, brothers, that through Jesus Christ forgiveness of sins is proclaimed unto you, and through him everybody who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses." Yes, this is what the Apostle Paul, as he spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said. He said that through Jesus, you and I today also are freed from all things. We are freed from the fear of death. We are freed from the fear of getting old. We are freed from the fear of the funeral and of the grave. We are freed from the fear of loneliness. Yes, we are freed from the fear of a guilty conscience. But in all of this, the devil still constantly tries to get you and me to doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. He wants us to continue to live in fear. The devil wants us to believe that the hope of the resurrection is some type of phony fairy tale. Whenever the demons of darkness try to destroy your faith, then think again of the disciples of Jesus. They were under all sorts of pressure to deny the faith, but they stood firm. They remained undaunted because, you see, they knew the facts. They had seen Jesus themselves after the resurrection from the dead. They had even touched him with their own hands. The Apostle John testifies to this truth when he writes, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." Yes, these dedicated disciples knew that they were not following a mere man. They were unequivocally committed to Jesus, who was not only true man, but he was also true God. For these dedicated disciples, Jesus was not a human martyr who died and remained forever in the cold grave. No, Jesus was the long-promised Messiah who was sent from God. He was the one who was put to death to atone for the sins of the whole world. And then this same crucified Jesus was raised again so that you and I might have a hope that even the devil himself can never destroy. The Apostle Peter underscores this basic Bible teaching when he writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And the Apostle Paul, in his introduction to the book of Romans, buttresses this fundamental foundation of the faith when he writes that Jesus was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And so, my friend, you and I today face a world of great uncertainty, don't we? Financial advisors regularly tell us that our economic systems are very, very fragile, and we do not know how long they are going to last. We like to boast about all of our medical technology, and yet the fear of cancer looms as large today as it ever has. We are blessed with all types of conveniences of labor-saving machines which contribute to a longer life, and yet those extra years that we are given are often filled with pain and suffering and terrible loneliness. And so for this reason, then, we need to hear again and again and again the uplifting words of the Apostle Paul, who reminds us that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed unto us, and that through this same Jesus, everyone who believes can be freed from all things, freed from the fear of loneliness, freed from discouragement, freed from the fear of despair, and freed from the fear of haunting guilt. Most of all, my friends, through Jesus Christ, you and your entire family can live without the fear of death. Jesus is saying to you and your entire family at this moment, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him, in Jesus, may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Oh, my friends, don't let this beautiful promise of eternal life fall upon a heart of indifference or unbelief, but instead, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in his soul-saving powers. For when you do this, then the Spirit of God shall assure your heart that there is no need to fear in this life, and there is no need for you to fear anything at all in the life to come. Amen.